Lime, duh.
Yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello.
And after that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect their wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, because
sports aren't exactly my thing, so...
Dana Black, a.k.a. Dunsky Black Amora, a.k.a. the Creatine. Dream, baby, a.k.a. Papa Oat Milk, sipping in a little oat milk latte right now. Oof.
Shuts your hole!
A.k.a. Donnie Dirt Sheets, cruising the dirt sheets, baby. Bing, 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 bing. A.k.a. Day, the modern gay goof and spoof, Haraja.
Someone you idolize.
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby.
Baby!
Gabba, gabba, we, gabba, yeah. This girl, she is mine, and
this is hot garbage.
She's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. And remember,
Monday Night Raw is presented by Southern New Hampshire University.
Wow, that's a huge sponsor for Raw. That's a big get. That's a big, big get. Before we get into all the wrestling, the spice of the week, baby, because there's a lot to talk about. There's always stuff to talk about. Even when you think there's nothing to talk about, you're wrong. We got too much to talk about, baby. So much to say, Dave Matthews style. But before we do, remember, this podcast is grassroots. We do this podcast ourselves, so support the podcast on patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. But we're never asking for handouts. Get access to all of our awesome, awesome bonus content. Like this week on Monday, I put out our free, I put out a free Patreon preview episode of our Full Gear episode, Hang, that we did a bunch of patrons at post Full Gear. We recorded our reactions, me and Tulo the Supermark, and we hung out with patrons, and they were able to cash in on the spot. If they had something to say, they threw up the cow sign in the Zoom, and we let them come on in. It was a really great time. Check that out. That's how we're always pushing the podcast to the next level. If you like that kind of stuff, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Also, fun announcement, on November 22nd, we'll be having our second ever cow Zoom Thunderdome. That's for Survivor Series, where if you're a patron at the $10 level, you can come hang out with us and watch Survivor Series live when it begins on Zoom with us, which is a good time. Yeah, also, I never do this, but follow me on Instagram, at Dan Black Attack. I mean, honestly, I should do this every single week, but follow me on Instagram, at Dan Black Attack. You can believe I have a podcast, and I don't tell people to follow me on Instagram. That's probably the number one rule of podcasting. Anyway, look, there's too much to talk about. Before we get into it, you're like, hey, I haven't heard Aaron. I haven't heard Aaron's voice. Where's Aaron? You're like, I haven't really heard that that Philly sneer in the background from Nasty Newman. But you are hearing something. And what is it?
Sierra Hotel, Echo, Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar. Shapiro.
Jason Shapiro, what up in the house?
You do what it do, baby.
Yo, welcome back into the cow zone. By the way, just for the record.
Into the cow zone?
Into the cow zone. The cow
it's
zone.
Getting hot and cheesy here in the cow zone, baby.
Welcome to the cow zone. Oh, man. Oh, hold on. I got it.
Oh, what flavor?
Lime, duh.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. So, Dan, I mean, as not only a lifelong wrestling fan, yeah. But as your best friend, and on more than one occasion, the man who saved your life, right? I got to tell you.
The best man at my wedding?
I was the best man, period.
That's right.
And also, I served as the best man at your wedding.
Yeah, like Rusev.
I was the better man at your wedding. And also, as some people said, I I Mike hogged at the ceremony and made more of a meal than necessary out of the blessings that I said, the Sheva Brachot. People said, I didn't feel that.
I thought you did a great job. I couldn't have been happier.
Thank you. But I heard from some people like, hey, man, you weren't really supposed to like do a whole thing with that. You just was like do the blessing and pass the mic back to the rabbi. I was like, I don't know. I have a feeling the people are going to want to hear from me here.
That's not even the last thing you did. You also started a yes chant at my ceremony, at my reception.
I did start a yes chant at your. And by the way, for the people who know me on this podcast, you guys know I hate Daniel Bryan. Hate is a strong word. He's grown on. He's proven to me in recent angles that he's as good, you know, as he deserves to be in the conversation.
But stupid.
At the time he got married, I had never seen anything that I thought was even remotely good out of this guy, including the yes movement. And I vowed to never do a yes chant, but because it was your wedding, my gift to you was I broke my own rule and did a yes chant for you guys.
Right. How do you feel about that?
I should have known better, dude.
Yeah, I should have known better. But I was going to say, as a guy who's been in your life for a long time, I got to tell you, this intro keeps getting longer and longer, and I'm sitting here watching you on Zoom, and out of context, like if I just went to like see someone from high school that maybe we haven't seen, I went to like see, you know, my buddy Shelby or something, and I was like, hey, he'd be like, hey, how's Dan? If I just showed him like, here, take a look at this 30 seconds and just played him a clip of you doing the intro to the show, he would be like, yo, is he all right? Like, what's going on over there? What's this guy doing? Like, he seems unwell. It's a crazy whirlwind of sound effects and screaming. I mean, it's beautiful, but at the same time, it's terrifying.
Yeah, I know. You know, if Shelby was upset with me, my response to that would be,
who gives a shit?
I'm sorry, Shelby. I didn't care about you then. I don't care about you now.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Anyway,
Jacob Shelby,
guys,
was it? No, he was a nice guy. I'm just kidding.
We're in the Cal Zone. We're in the spicy, hot center.
I got it. Before we get into the wrestling, because we actually have a lot to get into. I'm pretty excited because we have you here, and there's an expertise that I'm excited to really take advantage of while we have you here. I just want everyone to know, if you're watching the Zoom video, that Jeff is not defying gravity. Jeff has a back issue right now and is laying down with what is the setup here? You set up your computer on. How is it floating in air so you're able to lay on your ground?
Anyone who knows anything about anything knows that I'm the kink master, okay? And if there's a will, there's a way. I'm going to work out the kinks. So, you know, the doctors say I need a bacchiotomy. You know, I threw my back out lifting weights the other day. And so I'm laying on the floor.
Did you feel like the moment where your back went out? Remember that time where you were just going to like load the cartridge in the N64?
No. I was dusting behind the television. I was on my hands and knees, feather dusting behind the cable boxes. There's too much dust, and I froze.
I was just sitting on the couch, and you were just like bent over, and you're like, I'm stuck.
Yep, that was it. I couldn't move. I had to roll over onto my side. I just laid on the floor for like 4 hours, and then crawled to my bed. That was it going out. My back is not out right now. It's just severely tweaked, so it hurts a lot. I'm limping when I'm walking. I just need 2 or 3 days of just laying on the boards, you know. So I'm not about to do a podcast sitting in a chair. So I had to lay down on the back. What I have here is, you'll see on either side of me, some wood, right? Some stew's wood, if you will, right? It's not stew's wood. These are TV trays made out of wood. I open 2 TV trays, and I have a plank of wood right here. And then I'm resting my laptop.
I see the shadow.
Here's the that I'm resting my laptop. That's the square you see behind my head. So that's the camera's facing me. It's right above my head, suspended between 2 TV trays on a plank of wood.
So I got the microphone. Might fall on your face during the
mid-podcast. If there's a tremor here in New York, if we get one of those New York earthquakes.
New York tremors.
I could get a face full of Microsoft, and that would not be great.
Yeah. This is actually the sound when you take the laptop down from that rig. All right, listen. That was worth it.
This is hot garbage.
Okay, so, Shems. That's hilarious. But, okay, listen.
But by the way, who else do you know who, if they threw their back out, and they told you they would do the pod, would be like, you know what? Don't worry. I'll be there anyway, bro. On Zoom? Commitment.
In the Zoom times or in regular times?
Either or.
Because I would give you credit. You're the guy who I felt like, yo, I really need you on the pod. Even when your back fucked up, you get on the plane and fly out here and get it done. You know what I'm saying?
I would get it done.
So I'd say that, but I think a lot of people would come out for me on Zoom. I don't know. That's such a small level of commitment.
I think so.
A lot of people can give me that.
I don't think they would. You're absolutely right. It's a much smaller level of commitment. Yeah. But even that, I feel pretty good about myself for making it happen.
Can I answer one of your previous questions? When you said, what would someone think of it? Someone we went to high school with, being like, how Dan's doing? You'd be surprised because you think that. You think people's response would be like, wow, Dan seems like he went nuts since high school. But I think people see me and are like, I fucking wish I was free as a bird. Like that. You know what I mean? Dan, the response they get are more people being like, yo, it's cool what you're doing. You know what I mean?
For sure. You're way off base here.
And I'm like, I think it's way cooler what you're doing, which is just living a regular life.
Look, in no way would I think that people outside of the biz would look at you like you're crazy. I'm specifically talking about watching your podcast intro is a little bit jarring. It's a whirlwind of mania, basically. It's just non sequiturs and inside jokes and screams and sound effects. That's what I'm saying. However, as a guy who's also marginally successful in the entertainment industry,
right,
people who are not in the biz, they look at us and they go,
that was generous to both of us.
That we're marginally successful. I would say that we both have worked on real television shows. We both have performed at the highest level of the most prestigious theater in New York City. We both gotten paid to do comedy. We both host podcasts. I also host a national radio show, but it's not a penis showing contest. But I mean, we're both marginal successes. And I think that's great. Anybody who doesn't do what we do thinks we're doing fucking great. They think we're killing it. It's only us who are in the tornado, in the eye of the storm. We know how truly shitty things are actually going. But for people,
people
on the
don't
outside
know
looking
that,
in.
Like, a couple of years ago, we knew Kate McKinnon.
Oh, yeah. They don't know how close we were to actually being successful. But it doesn't matter because it's a journey, baby. And sometimes you're riding high, and other times you're laying prone on the floor in immense pain underneath a TV tray.
In your childhood bedroom.
In your childhood bedroom, hoping that a New York earthquake doesn't knock a laptop into your face so you could talk about wrestling, which 20 minutes into the episode, you still haven't done. So there's ups and downs.
There's ups and downs. That was perfect. You perfectly summed it up. All right. So
fashion.
Shebs, here's the thing. So I would say this, is that I think there's actually a reason we're not talking about wrestling this week.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we are. It's unfortunate. I said it last week. I was watching this clip of Vince Russo, you know. He says bro more than any. It's unbelievable the amount
more than
of bros this guy says. It
he
way
says
more
bro
than
more than Riddle, formerly Matt Riddle, currently just Riddle. We'll get to that later.
Someone told me why they think that is, and it's actually more interesting than you think. He was like, yo, look at this. Look, the next couple months, bro. Listen, bro. And he's like, bro, there's going to be Survivor Series. No one's going to care. Like, the next couple months, no one's going to care, you know? And you're like, you're right. Like, Survivor Series, it's very hard to care about Survivor Series.
Yeah, but so, I say that every year. We say it every year. The lull times. Survivor Series is the last most important of the four big pay-per-views. It just doesn't matter.
It is true. It's like they have an interesting thing where they could include NXT. And then Survivor Series is kind of interesting because then you see the NXT guys in there. But they are not doing that this year. I read it's because Vince is not happy with the creative of NXT, and him and Triple H are not getting along. But who knows? That was just, you know, Donnie Dirt Sheets work. You know what I mean? Found that when I was cruising the sheets. But I don't know if that's actually true. But I don't know. NXT, I mean, all right, let's just take a step back. How do you feel about NXT not being involved in Survivor Series?
I feel fine about it. I don't give a fuck. I mean, the fuck do I care about NXT? Here's the thing. You and me had this conversation off pod, I think, not that long ago, is that NXT is awesome for what NXT is, okay? NXT, however, has gotten a little bit too big for its britches. Now, what I mean by that is NXT is the developmental territory for WWE. Yeah. It was awesome when it was just on the network. There was no pressure to make it a televised, advertised dollar earning product. And it was just like, yo, we're going to train our guys, hone our guys, come up with shit, make it happen. Sick matches, guys would show their stuff, they'd work out character, and when they were ready, they'd go up to Raw or SmackDown. And it was kind of a shame because it's supposed to be, by design, perennially be getting drained of its talent. People are like, oh, they keep draining all the good talent from NXT. That's what they're supposed to do. But NXT is not supposed to be this fucking all-star show. It's supposed to be where the developmental guys go. Right. And because we happen to have a string of such awesome developmental guys, like, you know, 2015, where we saw, like, you know, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and all these awesome, the Sasha Bailey stuff from NXT, yeah, all that stuff was incredible. Then they decided, hey, we could sell this shit. This shit is good enough to go.
Right.
So now it's like a third brand. It's on USA Networks. It doesn't need to be. It shouldn't be, because now we're ruining what it is. Now people like Terrible Tulo are saying, like, oh, you know, this is the premier brand. It's like, it's not a brand. It's supposed to suck. We're supposed to take the best parts of it and ruin them in the big leagues. That's what we're supposed to do with NXT. I love that Finn Balor went back there, by the way. I think that's actually cool. They're doing cool stuff with it. But you should not be shunned for not watching NXT. NXT is like watching, you know, Power Plant on WCW or something, or like Sunday Night Heat. It should be like the lowest rung on the professional ladder for WWE.
I think it's, man, it's so tricky. NXT is it's weird because they're in such a purgatory. And look, I say that my biggest complaint about WWE product is the lack of structure to it, you know. And this is more of a knock on that, where it's like they literally call Adam Pearce WWE official, you know, and they're like, all right, I guess he's like makes the rules around here. So you're like, okay, if you think about a year ago, NXT invaded. Remember, they invaded Raw and SmackDown. Triple H was allowed to book matches on Raw and SmackDown. There's no bosses of Raw and SmackDown. Now Survivor Series, again, you've established this brand. It's still happening. It's still going, but they're just not on Survivor Series. It's like anything goes with this guy. Like, you know, it feels like a WWE, like they don't have that. Whereas, like, look at, I think the, one of the, like, ultimate, the pinnacles of structure, I believe, to be New Japan, where it's literally, it feels like they have these tournaments every year. It feels
those people love structure. They love order. The trains run on time over there. It's a very organized culture in Japan.
I know. I love Japan. I have
high regard for the rules and structure. And
I'm not saying it even has to be that, but it's just like WWE in a way just feels like kind of a mess, you know? Like literally, WWE, like,
but look, Miz, but at this
took
point,
the briefcase off of, like,
I love when a briefcase, when someone loses the briefcase, it's amazing. I love that. I love that that's allowed, you know?
Well, I like it when it's put on the line, like via a match. It was fine. This one was just a little goofy, just because Otis, they just chose to keep him so goofy that you couldn't take him serious at all. And then they literally did a Law and Order segment regarding the briefcase.
Hey, by the way,
we take the briefcase really seriously, you know.
Hey, by the way, I didn't mind that Law and Order segment one bit. I enjoyed it. I love JBL in there. I thought it was a great judge. I love fucking getting the APA back together. They threw a damn in at the end from Farouk. Loved it. I got a couple things to say.
It's Ron Simmons.
Thing one I got to say is, for years, not years, but ever since I saw Heavy Machinery and Street Profits, I've been saying, look, Otis is a star. Montez Ford's a star. Right. Tucker is garbage. Rosario Dawson is a nobody. You know, and I was like, we got to get Otis and Montez together to be the Heavy Profits. And we need to get Tucker and Rosario Dawson, throw them in the garbage. They're the Street Machinery. They're dump trucks. Get rid of them. Now, as soon as Tucker turns on Otis, where's Tucker? He just won his first singles gold, the 24/7 championship this week. He was in a seven, he was in an octuple threat for the 24/7, where he, as well as everyone else in that match, held the belt for 3 seconds. This guy is about to get fired, and it's not even his fault. I feel so bad for Tucky. All he had to do was stick with Heavy Machinery, and or at least with the Street Machinery, and become a dump truck.
I like that. That's what I mean. It's crazy because it's like you think about what, and we're going back to the original conversation. You go think of NXT, and you're like, oh, the Viking Raiders. Remember they come out and be like,
oh my
gong,
God.
And it was like war, and people were going nuts. And they came in, they called it the Viking Experience. Then whatever the Viking Raiders, whatever the fuck they're called now, who cares? But literally, like, one of the Viking Raiders is just in the ring, like like a fucking, it's basically the equivalent, the 24/7 titles when they throw like cash in the ring and you all have to like grab it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like so embarrassing. He's there dressed like a Viking. He's dressed like a Viking in the middle of the ring. Like, you're like, yo, NXT, it's like, you know, oh man, it's I don't know. It's so weird. I don't know what to say about it.
Look, it's a children's birthday party. The 24/7 title.
The WWE product feels so easily fixable to me.
Well, maybe I'll fix it. I got a big meeting next week.
Yeah, you want to tell the people about your big meeting?
Every once in a while, I pretend I'm going to work for WWE, and I throw my resume over there just to see them chomp at the bit. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, we'd love for you to write here. Let's do an interview process. And I go, yeah, okay, pal. So I'm going to do that. I'll do the interview. I'll see how it goes.
Oh man. Anyway, yeah, that'll be good. They're gonna talk to you for a couple minutes and then be like, but here is the
other thing.
You're gonna go in there. It's gonna be
shock the system.
I think
a couple things. Then we get to business. One, I think you could cool it with the soundboard a little. I think you're doing a great job with it. I think you got to ratchet it down to like a 4. I think you're on an 8 right now. We don't need this many sound effects. Okay, two, you mentioned Adam Pearce.
I send it you to
deletion! Adam Pearce, I think, has been the only structure in this whole quarantine.
Wait, no knock on AP.
Adam Pearce, finally, at first he was just showing up with the referees to break up fights, and then every week you'd see more of him, and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? He's like the GM, but no one's even saying what his name is. Then finally I found out his name, and now everyone knows it's Adam Pearce. Dan, I don't think the Comedians of Wrestling Universe know Adam Pearce. And I think we teased it, but I don't know if we did it. If you get one more Patreon, I just want one Patreon, I will unleash to the people what the streets have been saying about Adam Pearce. A lot of whispers on the streets about Adam Pearce. I've got all the information. I got your hookup here.
One more patron, and then you're gonna do the bonus 15-minute Adam Pearce episode.
It's the episode that nobody gives a shit about, nobody asked for, nobody wants, but it's only 15 minutes, and it will be yours for the low price of one more Patreon.
Who gives a shit?
Yo, Shebs. All right, so I got two things I want to jump into with you about this week. One thing I want to do is I want to jump on this. I had this text conversation with Tulo that I would like to run by you and get your take on. Okay,
I would love it.
And by the way, I got permission from Tulo to read this on the air because I don't think it's that cool to read text from two people unless you get permission. Okay,
I agree. You got consent.
Absolutely. But so
textual consent.
I gave Tulo some shit on the air. By the way, I did reach out to Tulo, offered him the opportunity to be on this program, and he declined to probably drink some Coors Lights or something.
No, I know, because he probably threw his back out. Most people won't come to a podcast if they throw their back out. I will.
So anyway, okay. So he said, yo, I'm just getting around to last week's pod. I don't even know why you're mad at me for being positive. And I said, yes, and for not holding WWE accountable, okay?
Okay.
Because last week I was giving Tulo shit because I was like, sometimes he's just like trying to see, he's like, oh, it's good. But I'm like, yo, you have to hold him to a higher standard, right? Like Roman Reigns, we could have been like, yeah, he's good because his matches are okay and he gets heat. You could settle for that. But, like, no, we want the vest off, and we want what he's doing now. So because I pushed him, okay.
Yeah, because you pushed him, now he's where he's at right now.
Absolutely.
You are the guiding force behind this Roman Reigns.
That's what I'm saying, man. Thank you for agreeing, finally. And then I said, yeah, for not holding WWE accountable. Then Tulo goes, oh, please. That's a 2019 take, maybe 2018. And he goes,
what kind of insult is that?
I don't know. He goes, judging by how lustful you are over Sasha every week after you constantly told me she's not that good, I would say maybe you need to do a little reflecting.
She said that to you?
Yeah. And then I said, she's not that great. It's so disappointing. Okay? And then he said, get over yourself. I said, she looks like a mill. Mike's like a zill.
Okay.
And then ... Ch, like zilch. Okay?
Gotcha.
And then he said, you legit have said nothing but amazing things about her. And I said, yeah, I like her. She's a B-plus player.
Yeah, great. Look, considering Bailey's a fucking C-minus, a B-plus is like the best we've seen in a year, right? So what's wrong with B-plus?
Right.
Daniel Bryan got to be people's favorite wrestler of all time by being a B-plus player. B-plus is enormous, man. It's a huge grid. Anyway, go on.
Right. I said, but he should be a B-plus player. He goes, Young Bucks haven't cut a good promo all year. And then I said, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. Said,
but they are one of your guys because they took a pic with you. Have some accountability in that.
Okay.
I said Sasha and the Young Bucks are a fair comparison if Sasha had started an entire wrestling movement.
Oh, fire. Guns a-blazing. But you could argue that she did with the Bayley matches in NXT and the women's evolution.
Wait till where it goes.
Okay, right? Where does it go?
He said,
by the way, we are right in the pocket right now in the hot, cheesy calzone.
We're in the calzone.
We're in the pocket.
Okay. And then Newman chimes in.
Oh, he's on this text thread also?
Yeah. And then Newman goes, Young Bucks low-key stink, but no one's ready for that conversation.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that energy.
And then I said, this combo is disrespectful. I don't think you heard. The Young Bucks took a picture with me. Okay. By the way,
the Young Bucks are being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame next WrestleMania because they took that picture with you.
Right.
Vince is putting them in his Hall of Fame that he loves them so much now.
And then Newman took a picture of the Rock and Roll Express and said the Young Bucks are this now but younger. But Rock and Roll Express are awesome, so I don't know what he was going for there. Okay?
Yeah.
Then I go, it's fine, man. This is the too low. It's fine, man. You just have lower quality standards. You like a wrestler who's almost good, and I like wrestlers who revolutionize the game.
Ooh. Burning them. It's like when you bite the hot cheese and it burns your tongue. The calzone.
And then Tulo said, she did start an entire wrestling movement. It's called the Women's Revolution. Ding right. Dong. What are you even saying?
Okay.
And then Newman, referring to the Young Bucks, chimes in out of nowhere. Newman out of nowhere goes, revolutionize the game by peeking on the indie scene?
I mean, it is. That's a boss move, man. It's a strong move, peeking on the indie scene.
Right. And then Tulo said, I'm very serious. You are being a ding dong.
Well, it's a great insult. I love his commitment to calling you a ding dong.
Yeah. And then I said, honestly, Sasha's contribution to women's wrestling, I'm underestimating. I actually took that point.
Sure. I agree. Yeah, I think it's true.
Do you see that? You ever see an argument with someone? I go, actually, you changed my mind. I'm kind of actually disregarding.
Yeah, dude, I totally understand that. Every time I have an argument with people, they say that to me. They're always telling me how I changed their mind.
Okay. Oh, man.
Oh, you didn't know?
I said, Tulo, don't say something you're going to regret, man. Do you want to take back calling me a ding-dong?
Which time? Dropped it like three times.
And
then he said,
no. Oof. And I said, wow. Yeah, then the rest of it's whatever. Then Tulo started talking about how he hopes they don't put Hangman Page in the Dark Order. Well, what'd you think of that conversation?
It's a fun conversation, man. I mean, I think friendship is important, especially in the quarantine, to have people you could connect with. You know, that's great to not be isolated. I'm glad you have that.
That's why I read it on the air. I read it there not because I was curious about your takes on the argument. I read it on the air because I wanted you to know that I have friendship.
Look, I'm just glad you're okay. I mean, sometimes I'm busy. I can't pick up the phone. I'm glad you have other friends you could chat with, bro. It's great.
Not at all what I was going for there, bro.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll take a piece.
Sasha Young Bucks, how do you feel about that?
I'll take a piece by piece. I'd say there's good people on both sides. I think there's fine people on both sides, obviously, here.
That I try not to fall into, and it's actually really difficult.
It's a great line. Look, we don't need to talk about this fucking ass fuck, but the thing is, he's got great lines. That's how he won an election, with just
in terms of pageantry.
It's one of the wettest hurricanes we've seen. One of the wettest in terms of water. That's incredible. it's from the standpoint of water. This is one of the wettest hurricanes we've seen from the standpoint of water. It's incredible. The guy has a way
Trump's
with words.
He makes George Bush look like he was a genius.
But here's the thing. George Bush would say these things, and he had a glint in his eye where you knew he was fucking up. Like, he'd say something dumb, and he'd be like, I don't really know kind of how this should – hey, bro, like, you got me. I'm kind of doofing this up a little. And wink. Trump is saying stupider shit with a stone-cold face of like, yo, I'm fucking schooling you right now, you bitch.
But obviously, like, George Bush, like, remember this stuff he would call, like, bad guys evildoers? And you'd be like –
evildoers.
You're like, why is our president say evildoers? And you're like, all right, you know, he was, like, Southern and, like, whatever. That's fine. That was his style. But at the time, we were like, that's not presidential. He should speak in a more beautiful language, you know, like more professionally.
The king's prose.
Then Trump literally, when he met – remember the first time he met with the COVID doctors? He came out and he goes, like, I went in there. These people were blown away by me. You know, he's like, I have an uncle who's a great doctor. He says, I have an uncle. He's bragging that his uncle is a doctor. He goes, he was a great doctor. I went in there and they're like, you have an unbelievable. He's like, I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I just have a natural ability.
I mean, the guy basically stole my gimmick that I use on wrestling podcasts. It's a great gimmick to fuck around with your friends on a podcast. It's kind of a dangerous gimmick if that's like what you're selling to the country. Anyway, we're tangenting here. Yeah. We need to get back to the important stuff.
Let's go. Okay? Let's focus up.
Young Bucks, Sasha. Here's how I feel. First of all, I heard Tulo come at you with a lot of like, this is 2020. That shit would have flown last year. But he said you say lustful things about Sasha. Is that what he said?
Well, I guess that was because I said that she looks like a mill all the time.
I will say something lustful about it. I think she's fucking ferociously attractive.
Yeah,
sexually attracted to Sasha Banks. I can evaluate her performance. I can evaluate her performance as a wrestler completely independently of that. However, you would be a fool not to acknowledge that on some level, someone's physical attractiveness or their conventional good looks is still part of their packaging and is still a factor by which the large majority of viewers will take in and evaluate someone as one of the many facets of their game.
I think I'm cute.
Sure.
I know I'm sexy.
I mean, just like Shawn, right? I mean,
Shawn Michaels' gimmick was that he was a sexy boy. He was a male stripper. Right. Okay.
Not
some
a boy
wrestlers,
player. And not your boy.
Some male wrestlers are fucking hot, and I love it. Okay, like Drew McIntyre is a fucking smoke show. Randy Orton is a fucking stallion, and I want to ride him. Keith Lee doesn't do it for me. Okay, Dolph Ziggler, handsome fucking guy. For some viewers, that layer of physical attractiveness adds something to the character, makes you like them more, or sometimes makes you like them.
He's a stallion, and I want to ride him.
That's what I said. Yeah, that's what I said.
That's funny.
Some people don't like pretty boys or handsome or like, you know, quote unquote, like, you know, sexy diva type stuff. Like some people don't want that in one of their guys. You get to pick what makes one of your guys, right? For me, something that usually works is you got to have some looks in there. For me, I like that. So is it the most important thing? Absolutely not. Is it dangerous when you're talking about female wrestlers because of the quote-unquote problematic history in the 90s and beyond of female wrestling? Absolutely. It's a little bit more of a slippery slope when talking about female talents' looks, because for many years in pro wrestling, that's pretty much all they were evaluated on, and that's bullshit, right? I'm not saying you judge someone based on how they look. I'm just saying, like, if you're Scarlett Bordeaux, it's a great part of your gimmick to be the smoke show, right? If you're Shayna Baszler, it's a great part of your gimmick to be fucking gross. Like, that's just how it goes. Like, Samoa Joe, part of his gimmick is being gross. He's like a nasty-looking, mean dude, and that's part of the gimmick. The way you look and your traditional or untraditional handsomeness is part of the packaging, guys. So it's okay that I think Sasha Banks is freaky-deaky, hotsy-totsy. I'm going to talk about her wrestling totally separate from that. And what I can say about her wrestling is she broke Paige's neck. And she's an asshole for that. No, I mean, she's been doing great. Her swag is off the charts. Right. She's already better than Bayley ever was as champion. Is she disappointing? No, not to me, because I've already been disappointed by Sasha years ago. We've already been through, hey, Sasha Banks isn't as good as we thought.
Right.
Coming out of NXT, we were like, Sasha, you could say that Sasha was better than Charlotte at the time.
Right.
They had those back and forths.
I thought Sasha was going to win at my bachelor party at WrestleMania 32. And now I can't believe that. In my predictions, I chose Sasha. I was like,
but the thing is this, at that time, she was on the same level as Charlotte as far as promise potential. Again, this is at the dawn of their main roster careers.
Right.
She had done excellent work in NXT. She's a fantastic wrestler overall. NXT, they do a little bit less stick work, a little bit less mic work. So we didn't see that sort of hole in her game, right? But her and Charlotte were neck and neck for who the real future of the business is. Now, at that very same WrestleMania, Dan, I predicted that Charlotte would win that match.
Right.
And the reason would be is that you got to think like Vince, and if you have this historic match, you got to go with the blue chip. This is Charlotte motherfucking Flair here, okay?
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't work out, who's going to fault you for putting the belt on a Flair, you know?
No.
And by the way, Charlotte's mic skills were pretty fucking terrible. Now I think they're pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
Sasha just didn't grow into that role as much. So you were saying that she's a disappointment?
I also think she hasn't really tried. Like that's my other thing is that I don't think she's really pushed on. I see a lot of her, I've always said this, her lusting, for lack of a better word, but her fanboying, being a little marky for like, oh, Eddie Guerrero, I love Eddie, and all that. And I'm like, it's time to come into your own. And then I felt like I've never seen her develop this legit boss gimmick, you know?
Well,
And I wanted to say a moment. Just speaking of when we were at NXT in San Jose and we saw Charlotte versus Sasha, WrestleMania 31 at the NXT show that wasn't even televised. It was before takeovers even existed. Remember, we sat front row. I bought the tickets that day. Remember?
Incredible. Yeah.
And so Sasha walked by me because I was on front row. And then she walked by me, and I was like, Sasha. And then she goes, don't touch me. And she backed up. And I didn't even get close to touching her, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, I was like, it was such an awesome moment, like a small fan moment of her, like, thinking that everybody wants to touch her and stuff. And I was like, oh, like, I had such promise for that character, you know, like the legit boss. And I was like, that's what that is. And then after that, it was all like, I'm wearing Eddie Guerrero's pants. Like, you know, like, and all that. It was just all marky shit.
I think, though, that she has shown flashes of developing the boss character. Like, she, just in the way she carries herself, like, the, you know, I think that she exudes that kind of, like, I don't give a fuck, that, like, kick you in the balls, like, get the fuck out of my face, ho. Vibe. Like, I get that from her. I think she's pulling it off. I think she's doing a better job with it now than she did before. But I agree, she definitely underutilized the gimmick and the swag and the persona that she had built for herself. She had underutilized it.
Anyway, I think she's doing great work now. And her matches are good. She can go totally.
Like I said, I think that in the few weeks we've had from Sasha being the one with the strap instead of Bayley, she's already destroyed and lapped and surpassed anything good that Bayley had done or interesting or like, oh, she did a good job with XYZ. Sasha's already doing a better job.
Right.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I think Sasha, she's incredible?
I think it's just that I had really, 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 really high hopes for Sasha, and then she came up short of that. But the hopes were really high. So that, you know, so she's
for
really
sure.
good. She's really good.
I think she's really good. I agree with you 100% in that she never seemed to fully find the stride of, she had a gimmick, she had clarity of gimmick, she just didn't really like play the gimmick. Like, she had this thing, she had this package, and she kind of was like, well, I want to do some other stuff too. And she didn't really like embody that all the time. Sometimes she did. And now I think she's given that an earnest attempt. And I think it's coming out pretty good. Now, I can easily say she's way fucking better than Bayley, and I'll even say she's way fucking better than Asuka. To me, I think Asuka's kind of another misfire. I don't really get her, but
I will
don't
say,
think
I'll give Bayley credit for Ding Dong. I think it's pretty funny.
I've been saying Ding Dong for fucking 15 years. Okay, she stole it.
I've never heard you say Ding Dong. So
yeah, because I don't call you a Ding Dong. You're my fucking dude. Why would I call you a Ding Dong?
But you've never called someone a Ding Dong around me.
I try not to sully your ears with my
okay,
with my
let's
rage.
Get to the Young Bucks point. So
hold
Sasha
on,
Banks,
I'm not done. All okay. I'm saying is that okay. already Sasha, to me, has surpassed Bayley, has surpassed Asuka. She's not yet on the level of the all-time greats of this movement, being Charlotte, being Becky, and even being Ronda. And the woman I am most excited for, actually, in all of this, is Nia Jax. I think she has so much to do and so much to grow. I think she has a lot of potential. I really expect big things from Nia Jax.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. I like her. I think she can do it.
That's surprising. I never thought you liked Nia Jax.
I don't like what she's up to right now. I think Shayna Baszler is garbage. But I see potential in Nia Jax. Just like I saw potential in a young Punishment Martinez, who can all agree, as Damian Priest, he's not there yet, but he's turning a lot of heads. A lot of guys watch him go, yo, there's something there, man. There's something there.
Did you see the shirt that Petroniak, Phil Pesapani made for me? It's Lance Archer. It's Damian Priest. A picture.
Oh,
of
yeah, yeah. You showed me that.
Says Lance Archer.
Yeah, you showed me that.
Because I always call him Lance Archer.
It's great.
That's really funny.
I'm just saying, I have a great eye for talent. Lance Archer does not have it. Damian Priest does have it, but he needs to go back to Punishment Martinez. Nia Jax has it. Okay.
Well, Nia Jax, I just think it's I mean, we know she's not like most girls, that we know.
Right.
But I do think, okay, anyway, I don't want to veer off Nia Jax because I actually want to stay on this text. So did I say anything wrong about Sasha? Where are you at on Tulo's allegations against my Sasha Banks ranking? That I was too lustful to be
Well, he was saying that you, like, have been shitting on her to him, but all you do is praise her and lust after her is what he's saying. But I think we'd all agree you have not really shown much lust for Sasha Banks. I can openly admit that I do lust for Sasha Banks. I would love to have sex with her. I think she's gorgeous. Separately, as a wrestler, as a talent, I could say, as a performer, she is doing...
That caught me so off guard. I was drinking water. I was drinking LaCroix.
I'm sorry I gave
you
a legit...
I do lust after. I thought you were going to be, like, delicate with it. And
no.
You said I would love to have sex with
her. No, I would love... I mean, she's a real fantasy for me. But as a performer, independently of that, I think... Her gimmick has a lot of clarity. I think she's finally stepping into it and embodying it in a more a constant way. And I think as a champion, she's already more believable and entertaining and professional than Bayley. I think she's doing better work than her. So I don't really understand Tulo's comments for you and Sasha, but I this is how I feel about Sasha. I think you're in the right here. Now, as far as the Bucks, yeah. I really do not want to have sex with the Young Bucks. And at some point... And at some point,
that caught me so off guard. More now, off guard than when you said you.
Look, you better keep your fucking dukes up. Listen, when Shapiro's on the show, you got to keep your dukes up, buddy, because I'll catch you off guard. Okay, the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks.
I really do not want to have sex with the Young Bucks.
I would never, okay? They are, I got to be honest here. They're not good-looking guys. They look like shit. I think Matt Jackson is pretty cute. I think he's got a good face. But the hair is cool so long, but he doesn't look good. Nick Jackson's got a hairline that I would curse my family for if I got that hairline. Although it kind of looks like I have it now because I'm laying on the floor.
Yeah.
Nick Jackson, you know, whatever, not as handsome as Matt. Both of them scrawny and doughy at the same time. Really bad bodies on both of these guys. It's really shocking how shitty their physiques are. And I don't think the outfit choices do them much of a favor. But they're very fun. You know, the super kick party is fun.
Yeah.
That rockers aesthetic is fun. Streamers and whatnot. Are they the greatest tag team of all time? No. No, they're not. Are they the best tag team wrestlers in the world today? I could say yes. I mean, they're not one of my guys, as I've clearly stated.
Who would be a better tag team than them?
Ever?
No. I mean, today, right now.
I think if they did my dream team of
the
Heavy
Lucha
Profits.
Bros?
Heavy Profits. Otis and Montez Ford. No.
Yeah.
Better tag team? I mean... Look, if the Hardy Boys reunited, I think that'd be a better tag team. Edge and Christian, better tag team.
No, you're talking about. I'm talking about in the game today. I mean,
well,
you know.
Here's the tough thing about tag team wrestling. In WWE, it's a fucking joke, right? It doesn't matter at all, which is a shame. And in AEW, I don't know. I mean, I love FTW. I mean, FTR.
Because I'd say Revival are number two, probably.
I love FTR. I also love FTW. Right. Taz is stable. I think they're great. Love absolute Ricky Sinclair. Whatever the fuck his name is, Ricky Starks.
Starks, which, by the way, I think it's because he looks like John Starks, or no?
It's because he looks like John Starks. And by looks like, we mean what, has a similar like skin tone?
I think it's a hairline thing, right?
He's got the same haircut and skin tone as John Starks. I think Absolute is a great name,
Ricky
though.
Ricky Sinclair.
I spaced it, bro. For a second. Come on, it's a hard match to remember.
Shen's laying on the ground, looking up at his laptop. He's on fire.
The blood is rushing to my head. I can't remember fucking marginally important. I can't remember like D-list wrestlers' names right now, okay? I'm sorry.
Sinclair is such a funny.
I knew it was an S. By the way, I got Stark. I got
today.
It.
Yeah.
You know what you're dying today? Because you have an actually funny fucking person on the goddamn show. Here I am in all my goddamn glory.
Echo, Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar, Shapiro.
You're a winner!
Yeah! Extended mix. It's where I, by the way, I want everyone to know, I edited that clip and sent it to Dan. It's so it plays my call letters and then says I'm a winner. And I love that.
Yeah.
Young Bucks. Look, great match against FTR at Full Gear.
Yeah.
They're awesome wrestlers. Their mic work leaves a little bit to be desired.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate their look. I don't appreciate the lack of care they put into their bodies. Because the thing is, they're undersized, right? Which is a knock for me. I don't necessarily love an undersized person. By the way, I think Lucha Brothers are undersized, and I think they're awesome. I mean, the matches Lucha Brothers had with Young Bucks are great also. Look, it's hard to say what I don't like about the Young Bucks that I haven't said. I just think that they're missing something. They don't feel like so perfect because they're not amazing on the mic. Their gimmick's a little silly. It's always tough to be silly and then also be credible. You know what I mean? Like, silly and credible is a tough mix.
That's what I always say. There's an ironic detachment to the Young Bucks that was awesome on the indie scene that is tough when you're in your TV show. You know? It's the thing I would crack down on most if I was working at AEW. It's like, everyone needs to come out like you take this shit dead serious, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't mean you can't do stuff that's funny, but don't come out like Kenny in the Street Fighter t-shirt. Listen, I like Street Fighter. I know you love Street Fighter. Street Fighter's cool. We all like Street Fighter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But man, like, you're entering through the fucking actual tunnel as a character. What are you doing?
Well, look, man, I think we got to make the Kenny conversation separate because I'm going to defend Kenny and I'm going to not defend the Young Bucks. I think the Young Bucks don't need my defense because enough people love them and support them. The Young Bucks are great. Make no mistake. I think they're phenomenal, and I'm happy to call them the best tag team wrestling today. Yeah. They're great. They're awesome. Not one of my guys. There's something off for me. I think it's because they look – if I saw those dudes walking around, I'd be like, these guys are fucking dorks. They look like idiots. They dress like idiots, and they're too silly. It's like what I would wear – to a fake wrestling show. Like, I would pick their outfit for like a UCBW wrestling show, or for like if we do another Comedians of Wrestling like Cowmania. I can imagine if there was no Young Bucks that you and me would like pick out to wear that outfit because it's funny and like be like, yo, this is ridiculous. We got to wear this. And that doesn't, to me, that's not what I'm looking for in my. I mean, it's the same thing that's kind of off about the New Day, is that it's too silly. But I think the New Day does a better job than Young Bucks.
Well, New Day has they actually have what I would call broken brilliance, which is they're in a broken tag division to begin with. Like, they know no one actually cares about those titles at all.
Right.
So at least just be entertaining, right?
Yes. I think the New Day is a successful version of what the Bucks kind of do from a strictly gimmick perspective.
Right.
But I think the Bucks do a certain type of in-ring thing that not many people can do. And I love that indie aesthetic. I think it's great. They have really great, great matches. I just wish that they took their look. Again, we're talking about how look is just one part of it, right? With Sasha and the fact that I would love to have sex with her because I'm very attracted to her.
It's enough.
No, I'm just saying that's not everything, but it's something. Same thing with the Bucks. Look is not everything, but it adds or detracts. The Bucks, I think, could be an A-plus tag team for me. but their look is so distractingly shitty. They need better physiques. They need better outfits. They need better hairlines. They need better faces. They need better everything.
Yeah.
Better all personalities.
Right. Okay. So, well, all right. So I would say the conclusion of this segment of the show is that you're glad I have friendship.
Yeah, I mean, it's, the intro is the same as the conclusion. I'm so glad that when I'm not there to hold your hand, you've got some other buddies that you could text.
All right, cool. I want to move on to Raw and SmackDown this week. First thing I want to start with is, I mean, I thought Raw was like a snooze this week. I thought Raw was rough to get through. I thought.
Ask me how many times I fell asleep trying to watch Raw.
How many times?
Three times.
Yeah.
I watched it today, and I fell asleep again today during the day. Daylight. Nap.
Well, yeah, Raw was not really great this week. But
having said that, there's
always some nuggets. You know what I mean? Right.
Having said that, I think Randy Orton was fucking awesome every time he was on screen this week.
I mean, Randy Orton was incredible. And Shebs, I mean, we have you here. We had two RKOs in the opening segment.
Yeah.
I don't know if people know this, but we did a Patreon episode that was ranking RKOs. And we'll do another part
I don't know if people know this, but I not only make sacrifices for my best friend, Dan Black.
Right.
I would show up to help him no matter when he needed me. I'd be there. If I threw my back out and he wanted me to be on a podcast for an hour and a half, I would find a way to make it happen. Right. Similarly, I make things happen for the Cow Universe, for the Jabroniacs. I will do for you what I do for Dan. And I sacrificed months of my life. I flew down in the middle of a pandemic to the Amazon rainforest, to a bunker in Brazil,
right,
where I studied tape with a bunch of PhD scientists.
Yeah.
For 3 months, I watched nothing but RKOs, and we evaluated, and we came up with the definitive system for how to appropriately rank the RKO. Okay, it's a three-pronged system with a fourth bonus prong. And let me tell you something. PhD-level intellects were amassed in this bunker, sweating our genitalia off, our dongs and our cooters, deep sweat, because we were trapped in a bunker underneath the Amazon rainforest. For months, we watched the tape. And we devised, and they decided to name it this, not me. I'm just sort of like the organizer, but they gave me the honor. It is known as the Jason Shapiro Memorial RKO patented RKO system. Okay. Now the two RKOs is because we're rating RKOs, but also the rating scale is an R, a K, and an O. We have the respectability.
That's for R. R stands for respectability.
R is for respectability. R. How textbook of a move was it? How clean was the move? Did he execute it with perfection? You could say rexecute it with perfection. The R could also stand for rexecution. You know, colloquially, that's not the official name, but it might help you remember.
I use rexecution. It irks you because this is something you actually dedicate a lot of time to in the Amazon. And
right. I mean, you don't know what it's like. I mean, talk to me when you're
taking... I wasn't there sweating. My cooter wasn't sweating.
You talk to me when you have to get an Amazonian spatula to peel your ball sack off your leg because of how much sweat has been dripping off that thang.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know what they make spatulas with out of Amazon? You know what the Amazonian spatula is made out of?
What?
Amazonians.
Wow.
They cut up the tribal people. They use their bones as spatulas, Dan.
Wow. What's the K stand for?
Knockout power. KO. How hard of a move was it?
K.
How much force was generated? Was it particularly devastating? And of course, the O, out of nowhereness.
RK.
Now, each of these three fields, respectability, knockout power, out of nowhereness, is an out of three scale. You can award up to 3 points for each category.
Right.
So a 3 points for how perfect of a textbook execution there was, 3 points for how maximum power there was, and 3 points for how surprising and out of nowhere it was. That comes out to 9. Now, the 10th point is that intangible, that X factor, extra something. There's no word for it. The French would call it a je ne sais quoi. The Amazonians would call it some shit in Portuguese, and I don't even speak Portuguese.
Right. Bro.
All right, but it's that extra oomph, that's something you can't quite put your finger on or stick your finger in, and that's what makes it that extra 10th gear. And then we evaluated on the Patreon, only one RKO in the history of RKO was the rare 11-pointer, and that's because it's only a scale out of 10, that 10th point being that little extra something, and an 11th notch if it was done at WrestleMania, if it was a WrestleMania moment. That, my friends, is the entire breakdown of the Jason Shapiro Memorial RKO patented RKO ranking system.
Okay. And it's Memorial just because of Andre the Giant Memorial?
No, it's Battle Memorial because I almost died down there, Dan. I could have
Memorial
died.
For almost? You get it almost?
Yeah. All right. Almost only counts in hand. Only counts in hand grenades and horseshoes and Amazonian wrestling ranking, baby.
All right, Chebs. We saw two RKOs this week. And by the way, do we want to tell people what the 11 RKO is, or should they listen to the Patreon episode to hear it?
Look, I'm not going to. You got to listen to the Patreon, bro.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Not
go back a couple weeks. You can hear
it. Why buy the cow, right?
Well, you can have the milk for free. All right. Oh, that was disgusting. Okay, so look, here's the deal. Shebs, the first, we had two RKOs. First RKO, and we both rewatched them back, so we're ready to rank them. The first RKO was on Kofi Kingston. It was mid-promo. He came out, was on the mic. Randy Orton was kind of looking down, and then the RKO happened. So, Shebs, what do we start from, the R? How would you rank this in terms of execution or respectability?
I got to be honest. I only rewatched the second RKO on McIntyre. I didn't rewatch this Kofi one. And as you know, I was dozing. Oh. Can you play it on the show? Can you play the clip?
I can, but then they'll take down the YouTube vid.
All right, so don't do it. Why don't you rank it, and I'll just back you up 100%.
Okay, well,
I remember one thing about it. Tell me your rankings.
Here's the deal. I actually have a question for you about this one. Yeah. Okay, in terms of respectability, I always think that and execution, I think of that as execution, right?
Right.
Does camera work matter?
So, I'm glad you asked that. This is the only thing I remember about that RKO because I didn't rewatch it. I just watched it the one time. The out of nowhereness is where that camera work is going to come to play because due to camera fuckery, camera tricks, that shit was a perfect out of nowhere.
It's a definite three for out of nowhere. No question.
Now, so camera work does not factor into the respectability. Respectability, Dan, is only the form of the move. If you had to teach it in a textbook and say, you do this, you do this, you do this, and I'm going to make you a drawing.
I'm going to tell you, I think the form's a three on this.
Perfect form?
I think actually, I'll be honest, I think both of these are perfect form. These are really good RKOs.
I mean, the second one I saw, we'll get to, I thought the form was very good. But yeah, I don't remember the form of this one.
No, Randy lands perfectly back, and Kofi, they land perfect. Like, Kofi's taken Kofi a million RKOs over the years.
But Kofi's one of those guys like Ziggler who, like, he knows how to fucking wrestle, man.
So I'm saying. I think it's close to a move. I would give it a two in terms of execution.
No. Let's give it at least a 2.5. You were hot to make it a 3.
No, well, the thing is this, is that the camera cuts away, so you can't actually see the neck clinch, but does the actual hit on the mat. I'll give it a 2.5.
Okay. So here's what we're saying. What we're saying is
he holds the neck the whole time.
Until we get somebody's iPhone, you know, Instagram story, other angle on this.
In the Thunderdome? Do people bring their iPhones to the Thunderdome?
Yes. Until we get that angle, we don't know. We cannot, in good faith, rank this a 3 on respectability. It looked as good as it can look. However, the camera did not capture exactly what we need to see to know beyond shadow of a doubt that this was a perfectly executed RKO. So we're going to give it a 2.5 because it looked great from what we saw, but we can't dole out a perfect score.
I'm rewatching it right now. Hold on.
Yeah.
Kofi is cutting the promo. You know what? It's a 2.5. It's okay. He doesn't hold the neck all the way to the ground. He jumps up. It's good.
So we'll give it a 2.5.
2.5.
Give it a 2.5. Dan, can you do me a big old favor and just jot this down? Because I've been keeping that document of all the RKOs.
Yeah.
Even the minor ones from random Raws. I just want to have it for reference.
Yeah.
So we have a 2.5 on respectability.
Yeah.
For the knockout power, this is just a 2.
There's a knockout power. You could see it even just rewatching it now. It doesn't look like it hurts that bad. It's more
it's
of
just
a nice
regular
bounce.
Now again, 2 means regular. 2 is like, hey, it wasn't a weak one. It wasn't a particularly powerful one. This is the middle of the road.
It didn't look particularly devastating.
Right.
It felt more like choreography than impact. you know?
Gotcha.
And then three.
Out of nowhere, this was a three because of that camera work. That camera work, I remember being like, whoa! And like, but like, I bet if I was in the room, this wouldn't have been that whoa, but because of the camera work.
No, it's not just the camera work. Kofi's just starting his promo. It's very early in his promo. Right. And it feels like he actually has something to say. Randy Orton is standing there with his head down. If you look at it, he's holding the title the whole time. So he does a drop of the title. So that adds a little bit of onus because you're like, he's holding something. You know, you don't just jump when you're holding stuff.
No, I mean, his hands are full.
His hands are full. But then he's looking at the floor, and he just jumps out of nowhere. So I actually think this is a really solid three, not just cam work. Cam work is the cherry on top.
Love it. So we got a 2.5, 2, and a 3. That comes out to a 7.5. And does this have that X factor, extra point? Absolutely not. There's nothing special about this.
No, it's a random Raw, not a great Raw. It's in the Thunderdome. There's nothing else is what it is.
Right.
So this is 7.5. That's one. A good ranking, though.
Look, guys, I can't stress enough how perfect my system is. And it's not even my system. This is a group effort. Multiple PhDs were tapped. We had physiologists. We had neuroscientists. We had them all. They were all down there sweating their cooters off in the jungle.
Okay. So this next RKO, which you saw.
Yeah. And rewatched.
The execution on this one. For you, Trebs, where do you want to go?
I loved it.
I think that might be a three.
I think it might be a three.
Because it might be a three. I felt like The Miz and this was actually a three-person RKO.
Yeah, so this was awesome. Just to paint the picture here, this was an awesome scene, which is where Miz and Morrison are holding
Drew McIntyre,
you know, like classic mafia. Hey, hold them. They're holding the guy so the boss can slap him around. Yeah. They're holding them. And then they throw him forward into Randy to give him an RKO, which is so funny because that's so not how a hold would go. Like, you don't hold someone's arms back. You do it so they can't be free to defend themselves.
Yeah.
You don't do it to, like, launch them into an RKO. So that was very funny.
You got to suspend your disbelief. That's part of wrestling.
You got to suspend your disbelief, which is great. But the holding was, it looked great. It looked awesome. It looked like Randy was the fucking boss, which he should be because he's the champion and he deserves it.
I think your execution's a three. It's really good.
Yeah, it was.
It's perfectly timed. It's really impressive.
But think of it like this, Dan. When you're batting homers, if someone pitches you the ball, it's a little tough. If they put it on a fucking tee, if they tee it up for you, you just crack at that thing, baby. So
it might be not a three because it's
No. I'm saying it is a three. The execution is perfect. But it'd be crazy if the execution wasn't perfect because it was right there for him, baby. They gave him a nice underhand lob. Right. All he had to do was swing away, and he's a master. So I'd say the execution or the respectability, this is a perfect three. This is as respectable as an RKO can get.
Right.
Okay. And I'll give you one more, Dan. For knockout power, I'm going to say that this was I'm going to give it at least a 2.5, maybe even a 3 on knockout power because of the suspension of disbelief by them throwing McIntyre, launching him towards Randy to hit the RKO.
In kayfabe, does that add to the devastation?
Absolutely. In kayfabe, it adds to the devastation. Now, in real life, absolutely not.
No, absolutely not.
Throwing someone forward is not the same as dropping them down 3 feet. And yet, somehow, in wrestling, that's what it felt like to me as a viewer. I said, this must hurt more because they threw him. So maybe you want to make it a 2.5, or I would love to do 3, but I could go 2.5.
I could go, knockout, like, I would.
Here's why I want to make this a 3.
I would like
Here's
to make this
case.
A 3, because I Here's think why I, want to make this I a 3. Like setting the precedent that, like, someone throwing you and taking your guard down makes the impact stronger.
Exactly. I want to make it a 3 because it's like they're roughing him up and loosening him up and put, you know, and then they just chuck him into it. Like it's there's something powerful to it.
Yeah, I think that's a 3. It's like almost like a mob beatdown. It's a 3.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
But out of nowhereness is a 0, I think.
It's a hot 0, maybe a 0.5. I mean, we know he's going to do an RKO to this guy. But the thing is, I was maybe a 0.5, and I could field an argument for making it a 0. Maybe a 0.5 because, like,
he's holding the title.
Well, but I also didn't think from, like, a hand, they're holding his arms. I'm like, what's he going to, like, RKO him and they all four of them go down? Like, how's his RKO going to work here? I didn't know they were going to, like, launch him into it, per se. That kind of surprised me. But it didn't I wasn't surprised that an RKO happened. So I could do a 0.5 or just a zero.
Well,
I'm
also,
fine
he
with
gave an RKO like a minute earlier.
So let's make that a point. So you want to make it a one? We didn't think we'd see another one because he just gave one?
No, I don't know. I think it's a negative. It's like he already showed you. He's.
I'm going to say let's make it a 0.5.
I give it 0.5. Here's why my point comes from. He picks up the title, if you notice that, and he holds it up. So it does make you believe the more effective impact would be to hit him with the title.
Right. That's the thing. I thought that's what – I will actually – I maybe want to make this a one because in
it's
that
It's not
moment,
a one. We can't, okay, it's okay, not okay. a one.
But I thought for sure, again, he had the title, dropped it to RKO Kofi, picked the title back up again. So I thought for sure he's going to hit McIntyre with the title because he already did an RKO. But you're right. It's Randy Orton. He's going to give an RKO, so it's a 0.5.
Now, does this get any X factor? I would say no.
Yes!
Yes, because of the hold?
I love the mob beatdown, the boss slapping you around vibe. This had
it. I could see that.
I could field an argument for getting a 0.5 X factor, but I don't want to even break out X factor points. It's a binary scale. Was there something cool about this out of the ordinary, or was it not really that interesting to you?
I agree.
This was a little interesting to me.
It was a little interesting. You are
it
right.
It gave me a little. Did it give you a little bit of a tingle? You know where. Did you see this and go, yo, that actually, like, I like the way that made me feel a little bit.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so. So that means that we
again,
got
the RKO, Dan, the Jason Shapiro Memorial RKO, patented RKO ranking system, it was very genital-based, okay, because we were in the Amazon jungle. Our dongs are sweating. Our cooters are sweating. I got an Amazonian spatula ripping my balls off my leg. So when you get that ball tingle, that's part of it. That's maybe that's why the Amazon jungle was picked, because of the effect on genitalia.
You know, well, I guess we'll never really know, but so that's two scores in. The scores are both in, and they're both very different score.
And yet,
but both the same total.
Both 7.5. Isn't that amazing? Two completely different RKOs from two completely different walks of life, two different races, colors, and creeds of RKOs, and yet we're all the same deep down. We're all 7.5s, very entertaining RKOs.
Yeah. Wow.
I loved both of these, by the way. I loved both of these RKOs.
It was great. Randy was great. It's great to see him come out, just have a little RKO party. I dig it. And
I love
cool
it.
That Miz has the case also, but he's helping Randy out.
Well, I want to talk about Randy, and I've got 12 minutes before I got to bounce because now that Alex Trebek is dead, I watch every Jeopardy live when it
he's
out for me.
It. Meredith Vieira?
No, he's still – they have pre-taped episodes till Christmas.
Yeah.
And I am not only the biggest Jeopardy fan you know, but also the greatest Jeopardy player you've ever met in person. And I can tell you this. I get all these questions right. I watch them with my parents. They're sucking my dick. They're like, oh, you're so smart. He's the smartest. How do you know all this? And I love it. And I wouldn't trade anything for the world. I love it. Look, I'll come and do your podcast, but when Trebek is on, it's a matter of life and death.
All right.
He died.
So what did you want to say about Randy?
I want to talk. I want to devote the entire rest of this episode to Randy Keith Orton, because he is in such an incredible zone right now. I love where he's at. They're making him a mean and threatening and dangerous and, like, bad dude. And that's when Randy Orton excels, okay? He is, like, getting in people's faces and being like, you motherfucker, you fucking listen to me. Like, that's perfect Randy Orton.
Keep
it's believable Randy Orton. And I didn't know that they were going to necessarily have him beat McIntyre for the title. When he did, I thought he deserved it. I mean, as you know, we've called this the hot Randy summer. There's been the summer of Orton, the summer of getting jacked for Dan. This is the summer of Slither. Okay. We now all strike in style. He launched a clothing line. I think all you guys can agree, Randy Orton has been doing some of the best work of the company this summer. All summer long, he was doing consistently great work with Edge, with McIntyre. He has been delivering, and I felt like it. He's been doing the caliber work that deserved to put a belt on him for. I was like, he's doing great fucking work. He could be champ. But there's that Randy Orton conundrum where he was already a 13-time champ. The only people with the belt more than him were Triple H with 14 and Flair and Cena with 16. There was the Randy Orton conundrum of how many more times can you give this guy a title run before he eclipses Ric Flair and Cena? So I was a little bit surprised when he beat McIntyre. I thought he deserved it. I just didn't think they were going to pull the trigger because of the Randy Orton conundrum. And then they pulled it. And now he's the champion. And it feels so right.
Randy Orton, that's the ROC?
The what?
The Randy Orton conundrum?
Yeah, the Randy Orton conundrum. The Republic of China, ROC. It feels so right as him as champion. And how good is this booking right now with him as champion being fucking vicious and devastating? The way that mob beatdown of McIntyre where Miz and Morrison are holding him down. They're like, come here, you fuck. And then they throw him to somebody, RKOs him. Like, how that feels so fucking good for Randy Orton to be the champ and be doing that stuff. It just works for me. And the booking is great because you've got such an interesting thing. How boring is it when it's like, oh, it's this guy feuding with this guy and that's it? We've got Randy Orton. McIntyre is pursuing him every episode. He wants the rematch. That's a credible threat. We've got Bray Wyatt and a very sexy, scary Alexa Bliss. Chasing after Randy Orton, a very credible threat. They have history with Randy Orton at one point even being in the Wyatt family. Randy Orton burning down Sister Abigail's house. Tons of backstory. So we got McIntyre. We've got Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, Alexa Bliss. We've got Miz and Morrison just took the case away from completely non-credible threat Otis and now put it on Miz, who is, for my money, still to this day, the best working micsman in that company.
No question. Okay,
he's incredible.
No question.
Miz and Morrison are fucking awesome every week. I love seeing what they do. That's a good time. Now that's a credible threat. And then we have the very interesting, not boring, not textbook, not expected thing of Miz saying, yo, look, I have the case, but look, I'm going to work with you right now. Well, let's work together. And then, and him not turning on him.
No, the weird interesting thing is that Raw, WWE product right now, main roster, top of the card, is so good right now.
It is on fire. It is the best. I can honestly say
storylines on both shows are A+ right now.
I can say I agree 100%. The top of the card on both shows is so, they have outdone themselves. Wrestling has not been this good in years. This type of top of card storyline, booking, matches, quality is at an A+ right now with Randy Orton as champ, with the tribal queef, Roman Reigns as champ.
Well, it is, and then amazing. The drop off is so high.
Every so single steep. Other storyline in WWE is absolute shit right now. Maybe Sasha has some potential.
Like, Raw is 3 hours long.
And I fell asleep once an hour. I watched Orton, and then I fell asleep.
And then the opening segment was great. Everything else was trash except for Alexa and Nikki backstage moment, which was good. But then there was no Fiend, even.
Alexa is awesome. She's always going to be watchable.
Him segment was great. Her Nikki Cross coming at her being like, there's something wrong with you, and her just thinking like, no, you should got to come to the Firefly Funhouse and play. That was fucking awesome.
Amazing.
Let's talk about Roman while I have you for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Roman on.
Can I just say one thing? I just want, for the record, I just want everyone to know I also lust for Alexa Bliss. I'm lustful towards her as well.
All right.
Just to set the record straight.
Okay. I'm glad we.
Shame.
Okay. So listen, here's the thing. Roman Reigns on SmackDown.
Yeah.
The guy is destroying it. I mean,
let me tell you a story about me working at SiriusXM. Okay.
Okay.
I worked at this company at this point for 10 years, okay? I tried to quit that show. I quit 8 times, and they begged me to come back.
For 12 years!
That's you, actually.
Yeah, and they quit. They were like, you got to come back. We need you. Okay, so I've been working there for 10 years. I never loved it, but it was pretty good. It was like, hey, this is fine. It's a good job. I'm on air, so that's kind of cool. The salaries, it's a salary. Okay, but I've always said, but you know what? You're going to want to keep this job. In case of a rainy day, one day it's going to, you just have that safety. It's a good thing to have this around. It's a blue chip, big corporate, big company, tried and true. And I said, I don't know. All of a sudden, we got a pandemic. Everyone's getting fucking laid off. People are getting furloughed. No one's got money. No one's got paychecks. No one's got health insurance. I still got the job. I work at Sirius. Now I fucking love it. I'm here, and it is exactly what I kept it in my pocket for. I said, you know what? One day, it's going to make sense to have this job. Yeah. It's a good thing to have a solid, strong, safe, blue-chip job on the roster, okay? Now, I couldn't be happier. It is amazing. It's finally doing the best work of its career, my job. I'm Zooming. I got more guests than ever on my radio show because of Zoom. It actually has been a boon. I'm getting guests in their home. I'm getting tours of Howie Mandel's quarantine bunker. Like, I'm zooming in with the fucking A-list celebrities. It's amazing. And I never loved it, but I accepted it. You know, I was like, oh, it's the job. It's fine. I guess it had its moments, but ultimately I'm like, this can't be it, man. Whatever. And now I'm like, you know what? This is what we always hoped one day was possible is right now. That's the same thing as Roman Reigns.
That's for you,
I never loved him. He was okay. You're like, look, this guy's jacked. He's in the Anoa'i family. He's a blue chipper. Yeah, there's some moments that are cool, some Shield stuff. I don't know, but he kind of sucks. And it's not the champion we want. He's not enough. It's just not what we need it to be. And they keep shoving it down your throat. You're like, get the fuck out of here already. Right. And then one day, just like you always knew it theoretically was possible, because he had all the ingredients, they just weren't letting it happen. One day they do that one tweak and they take the goddamn vest off and they finally give him that true heel turn that we always knew he needed to make. And even now it's kind of a gray heel turn and it feels great. And finally, this is why we kept him around for so many years. This is why we didn't stop watching wrestling when they main evented him at WrestleMania for a fourth year in a row. One day this might make sense. Like, I bet there's a world where this is actually a good thing, and now we're there, and it's a great world to be in. Roman Reigns is truly doing A-plus work.
Roman Reigns, are you willing to make him one of your guys?
Not yet.
Wow. Not yet. Just like me. I held back on it. I was like,
Because I can forgive, but I can never forget, okay? There was too much absolute dog shit that they just let him fail up for. There was too much stuff that was doing terrible work, and they're like, great.
I said, Tulo gave me shit, and I was like, yo, bro, I flew to like 5 WrestleManias to watch this guy underwhelm every time. How many times?
Right.
All of a sudden, he has one good match, and now he's the king. You know,
not yet.
But I'm still giving him props. The trajectory looks fine.
I mean, I think we could both agree that what we've said about Roman Reigns is nothing short of the highest praise you could give a wrestler. All we're saying is, I'd like to see this sustain for, you know, 2 or 3 pay-per-view cycles. I want to make sure. Again, it's the same thing, Dan, that you were saying about Becky, that even I was maybe saying about Becky when she first went into the man gimmick. And it was awesome. And she was catching like wildfire. And she was consistently the thing that people were talking about the most every week from wrestling. The biggest story of the week was Becky Lynch. And it still felt like, well, but I want to make sure this isn't just a flash in the pan. I want to make sure she could keep this heat going for 6 months, for a year. Because she burned you so many times. You were so underwhelmed so many times.
Right.
Same thing with Roman. I just need to see this keep going for 3-6 months. And once he does that, I'm willing to say, dude, he's arrived. And
there's no need to rush. I'll just take it all the way to Mania. I'll make my decree that Monday night after WrestleMania, I'll make my decree about Roman
Reigns. That's huge.
That's what I'll say. After WrestleMania.
That's actually more time than you need, I think. That's more time than I need. But that's being safe, I guess.
Better safe than sorry. That's to be safe. Let's ride out this season. Right.
Okay.
Even though I was going to say wrestling just started, according to WWE,
the
season premiere. Yeah, but you know, just a couple small things about this Roman thing. I love it. It's like he has to authorize promos for Jay.
Amazing.
Like, did Roman authorize your promo to Kayla? You're like, no. Then they're like, well, Paul. There's actually a chain of command. Paul is number 2 to Roman, and then Jay is
the right hand man. Yeah. I love it. And by the way, let me tell you something. This guy not only made himself way better, he made the Usos interesting for the first time they had a brief moment where they were interesting when they first went to the Uso penitentiary and they cut like a good promo 2 weeks in a row and everyone lost their fucking mind except for me. Aside from those 2 weeks, they've been really not exciting to see ever. And he truly has raised the entire family's value, the entire family's profile.
Well, Jay Uso is like a legitimate singles wrestler now, almost.
Insane.
It's like, he
could
win the IC title. Like, he's definitely an IC guy instantly.
Absolutely.
Right?
Roman Reigns awesome. Is who he says he is.
I want to make sure we talk about one last thing.
Well, I got to go, so you've got 30 seconds. Hit me.
DVR. DVR at the beginning is Jeopardy.
That's not how it goes. Trebek is dead. Alex Trebek is a better man than you will ever be.
All right,
and I will not...
What did you think of Carmella's new gear?
Carmella's fine. Who gives a shit? It's fine. I mean, whatever.
I thought she looked awesome. I thought she looked awesome.
The gear looked good. The gear looked good, but I'm not going to pretend that I give a fuck about Carmella or that she seems like a
I like Carmella. I'm interested to see where she goes.
She doesn't seem like a credible heel. They're trying to make her like a. I need more from her before. I mean, it was shocking that she came out.
She's good. I like Carmella. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt.
But she's not a top of the card player for me. But because of how thin the female division is, you know, she's obviously held the title before. So she is a top of the card player. They're all top of the card players, except for Nikki Cross and that girl who used to be in the Riot Squad, who's a Viking somehow. Everyone but those two are top of the card players in the female division.
Okay, last small thing, and then we're going to go. Kevin Owens looks way better in a red t-shirt. It's very small, but I was like, he looks way better in a red shirt.
Classic fat guy trick. Just switch up your outfit so people are distracted by the new thing. It's like if you're fat, grow a beard. They won't notice you're fat. Then when they know you have a beard, shave the beard. Now they don't notice that you're fat because you used to have a beard. You got to keep them guessing so they stop thinking about your fat, fat body.
All right, Jeff. Not cool. You can sign off. We'll talk to you later.
I want to say that was a little shamey, and I'm sorry, Kevin Owens. You are not fat. You're beautiful, and you could kick my ass.
Seems like you're a little stupid, but you're actually really stupid. So sometimes appearances aren't what they are.
I deserve that. I deserve that. You deserve got that. Away from me there again.
All right, Chad, you can sign out. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for really giving us the science breakdown of the RKO. Maybe we'll do more of them if the people demand it. They got a taste. We had 2 7.5 RKOs today. Everybody, thank you. We'll be back here Friday morning. We'll have an episode, me and Tulo, AEW NXT. Well, I'll give Tulo a chance to respond to the allegations here on the podcast on the AEW NXT episode. Yep. It'll come out. I'm pretty fucking pumped to watch Dynamite tonight, to be honest.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be awesome.
Dan, can you just tell everyone to follow both me and you on Instagram right now? You have more podcast listeners than Instagram followers. It's a shame. You deserve more Instagram followers.
We do in have more podcast culture, listeners than my. I just don't tell people to follow
in
my Instagram.
This day and age, though,
Dan Black Attack.
But it's one of the things they can do to help the podcast the most is the higher profile you have. Unfortunately, followers dictate some of that. It's how outsiders view us sometimes as our followers. So if you love the podcast, following Dan on Instagram is a great and easy way to support the podcast. You could follow him at Dan Black Attack. And then following me on Instagram may not support the podcast, but it will make Dan very happy because he loves me.
No, but you should give Shebs a follow because Shebs killed it on the pod today, I got to say. He actually gave me a 5-minute laugh break there. He didn't want to have sex with the Young Bucks, and I did not expect at all. That was really
you
funny.
Expected me to want to have sex with the Young Bucks. So follow me at Shebiro. That's S-H-E-B-I-R-O. You can check out my podcast, Throwback Explains It All. You can check out my radio show, The Raw Report, on SiriusXM Channel 99 Thursdays at 4. And you can check out my best friend, Dan Black, at Dan Black Attack on Instagram.
And check out our Patreon. Get the bonus episodes. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Come hang out with us November 22nd. Shebs, can we count on you in the Thunderdome for Survivor Series?
You know I'll be there.
All right. We'll see you in the Thunderdome. Join us at the $10 level. $5 level, you get access to our weekly bonus episode about AEW NXT. $10 level, you get to our monthly hangouts on Zoom, which were a blast, especially in this pandemic era, to watch wrestling with the group. So everybody, spread the word. Tell a friend about the podcast. Post about the podcast. And everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Kisses.
Comedians of Wrestling. I listen on Thursday.